I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game. Like I said, I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and today I am joined by none other than Dr. Shamu.
Hello.
And I'm also joined by the one and only Linian.
Hello, hello.
And we're here today to talk about mostly the video game, but before we do that, as we always do, how's everything going? What have we been up to? Anything fun? Anything cool? Anything interesting?
Other than the DLC is last, like, couple days, we were at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Not bad. With
the collective. Not the entirely collective we. I wasn't there.
Yeah. You could have been.
Yeah, well, the royal we.
No, I could not have been.
You could have just dropped everything and flown over and then be in, like, some debt or something. I don't know.
We left you a spot. It's fine.
Yeah.
We saved a spot for you. You really wanted to come. You could have made it. We had the spot.
I suppose it was physically feasible, if not a terrible idea.
Oh, it's definitely a terrible idea.
Yeah.
No, it was like, it was up until now. Well, I think even the Barcelona special event is still smaller, but and it was the largest, like, Pokemon tournament in the West.
Yeah, I think total participants was, like, 2K, but I think Masters was, like, 1,800 or something.
It was
like
just
that.
Under 1,800 for Masters.
Masters, yeah.
I'm sorry, that proportion is just very funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. It's, like, 2,000, it was, like, 2,000 people, but, like, no juniors or seniors are really playing. Like, seniors are, like if you want to make a lot of money playing Pokemon, you should play in seniors.
Yeah, because it was the start of the school year.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true, too. But, yeah, I forgot about that. But even then, like, you also had a bunch of kids. Like, if you're a senior, you should play, because you're in that age group of where Pokemon's no longer cool. And there's so many seniors. There's so few seniors that show up that it's probably pretty easy to win.
You have the whole differential, too, of, like, I don't know what the age brackets are for each one, but, like, seniors is, like, I think a smaller than junior age bracket, I think. So
they just made a rule this year, which shockingly they had to make this year, giving a minimum age requirement to be able to, like you need to be this tall to ride.
Well, yeah, that should be a thing, you know, like, because
it wasn't until this year. It turned out that wow. You have to be 6 to play now, which I think is very reasonable.
Yeah.
If anything, almost a little too young.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Like, they should be able to have gone to kindergarten. That means they could probably read. Like, but yeah, I think seniors, just nobody plays. Like, there's a senior in my locals that comes every once in a while, and he always shows up to, like, the league challenges and stuff. Because he's the only one. So he wins his division every time by just showing up. And so he gets so much free product. By just doing that, because he got first place in his division, so they gave him, like, 10 or 16 packs once. And I'm like, that's amazing. Very easy for him to win, because nobody else is here.
Yeah.
It was pretty insane. So, like, I do recommend seniors, if you would like to go. But yeah, 1,700 players was a lot.
It was popping.
It's very clear to me that Pokemon isn't prepared for this, like, kind of scaling, in all honesty. Like, They definitely are to some extent, because they increased prize payout this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they actually, like, fixed some of the prizing and such, too, and all that. And
yeah, they increased prize payout, which is nice. Not that I'll ever see any of it, but
yeah. Well, it's nice to know that you can just win a regional and you get to Worlds.
That's true, like, too.
I would reference the Piper Lapine situation, the person who won two regionals and couldn't go to Worlds at that point because they didn't have enough championship points. And it's like, how is that okay?
You know? It was kind of nuts.
That's insane to me.
They did agree with that sentiment, to be fair. And they did drop the points later on so that Piper would, in fact, be able to go. But yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's just one of those things of like, it's so ridiculous that that's how it was set up.
Yeah, absolutely.
On my end, I took second place in the Toad School division of PDL that's finally wrapped
up. Ooh.
Congrats, nice. Congrats.
It turns out if you draft Palafin, everyone worries about the Palafin, and then you just Latias sweep half your teams.
So, well, fair. If you leave Palafin unchecked, you just kind of lose to just constant water stab. Just 160 attack with like 120 base power with stab on top of an item. That's kind of a lot.
No, I'm aware. What was funny, though, was up until playoffs, I think, Palafin had less than, like, 6 kills, and my kill leader was Latias by a large margin.
Yeah.
But I also had, like, Mega Diancie, and there were other teams. I lost to British Gent. British Gent played incredibly well. Turns out Mega Gyarados behind Cyclizar subs is kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, totally, though. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It took a long time. I have a real habit in these of making playoffs and immediately losing to round one. So I just kept waiting for that to happen. And then I kind of kept winning.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, other than Pittsburgh, I don't think... I mean, the DLC obviously happened, which we're going to talk about some more today. But which was nice. I mean, I got in too early on the DLC download, by the way, this week. Like, I got in too early. Like, I hit the button as soon as the update posted and ended up, like, freezing the download. So I ended up getting it downloaded after everybody else got it downloaded because I didn't know what was going on. And, once I restarted the download, it downloaded in, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But it ended up being... I sat there for, like, 15 minutes, like, waiting for it at 78%. And nothing happened. I was... So, fun fact about how Nintendo downloads work. You should definitely just... wait like 30 seconds, guys. I promise you it'll be okay.
No, but I want to get in. Let me in.
I mean,
let
that's kind of how I felt. That's kind of how I felt. Like, this was the most hyped I've been for anything Pokemon, honestly, in a long time. I felt very good about it.
I was I wasn't hyped before. I feel better about it after going on, but I was expecting Isle of Armor, where it'd be like an hour and a half of some loose, bad story.
Yeah.
And then a couple of cool fights, and then I just have a new map turn around in. But as we'll get into the topic, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I don't know. I was happy with it.
Yeah.
I was just excited. Not because of like the mysteries or anything that they were doing. I was just kind of excited. I think a lot of it's just like nostalgia in the back of my brain to some extent. Like some of my happiest Pokemon memories are with the release of X and Y. And I think that comes around with like where I was in my life when that happened, because that was 2013. So 2013 was a bigger year for me because that was the year that I first started grad school. So I had just moved to a new location, obviously. I'm in a new school, which sounds kind of weird to say when you're like 23, right? To be like, I'm in a new school. but you know, I'm in a new program and it's an intense program, right? Because in physics grad school, they're trying to really like, I don't want to say weed out. I feel like that's a bad way to put it, but that's what it is.
It's bad. It's accurate, but it is bad.
Well, weed out's probably the wrong way to put it. It's probably like too negative. But what they are trying to do is trying to see like how determined you are, right? Like, are you determined enough to put up with all of this and learn these things and learn them well to be able to get your PhD/master's? And so it's very stressful that first year. And I mean, I had plenty of breakdowns. Like there was a time when I was going to go quit and become a teacher and go teach physics instead of become a physicist.
Mm.
And I almost did a couple of times, but I ended up like pulling through, obviously. And so it was just like a very like tumultuous time, but Pokemon's very familiar, right? And X and Y is coming out. So I was very excited. And I think just like the weather around fall, like the crisp mornings and everything. Just like hits this nostalgia, like Pokemon and crisp fall weather just really does it for me, you know? And I don't know. I'm just like, oh man, that weather's getting good. There's going to be some new Pokemon to play. Oh, I'm very excited. I think that's where I was at. in terms of my excitement level. I don't know how much of it's nostalgia and how much of it was just like genuine excitement, but it did feel good to like, I don't know, it's weird to say it. I'm like, it feels good to have been excited for a Pokemon release in terms of the video game.
That's
like, I think that's my driving home point, is it felt good to be excited, because like, it's definitely been a tumultuous few years with my relationship with the franchise, and yeah, I'm just excited about it. I don't know. Pokemon got me excited more than I've ever been excited in the past few years. But yeah, let's go kick it on over then to the news, if we're all good.
Mm-hmm.
And we will cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, there's a few things to talk about. Not much, honestly, though. Fun fact, there's a Nintendo Direct this week. So one of the things that I'm very annoyed about, and I want to use this as a venue to talk about it, by the way, I have been told by so many people that they are freaking out because the DLC Part 2, what is it called, Indigo Disc, has mm-hmm. a release date of April 30th, 2024. On
it's
everything.
A placeholder.
It is a placeholder date, everybody. Let's calm down. It's still coming out in December. It's going to be
it's
fine.
It's the end of a month, and it's like, that's probably what they consider the end of like the winter quarter, which is insane, but like, they,
yeah,
it's just it's, like, you're the placeholder date in case things go wrong. Like, I don't, like, if they say 2023, and then they, like, I don't believe they're going to put it to 2024 unless they end up saying something.
Yeah, they will make an announcement that it's been delayed.
Exactly. Yes. Like, they're not gonna, yes. It's still probably gonna be December or like November. It's gonna be this year probably, unless again.
It's gonna be
they
December.
Say something.
It's gonna be December.
I assume December at the latest, but like.
It'll
be
December.
They've got too much stuff tied up in the TCG and things. They've pushed out buggy games before. What's it gonna change?
Yeah, look at Scarlet and Violet, just like. No, it's also, they did a thing at the end of the Nintendo Direct of like all of the things that are coming to the Switch, in order of release date. And, they solidly put, DLC Part 2 way before before the stuff that came out next year. So they do anticipate, the Indigo Disc coming out in December. So that's it. They also did show Detective Pikachu 2 footage if anybody cares. But yeah, Scarlet Violet news. We had some updates.
Yeah, the DLC gave us updates. I am very glad they fixed the box lag, so now I can, like, really fast, like, scroll through my boxes and know what the hell I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's
it's very nice.
Nice.
And then also the thing that makes it easier for people who, mainly for Sinistee, but, the outbreaks will show the form, so if you have an authentic Sinistee break, or outbreak, it'll show up, like, as a question mark, because unless you've caught it, you know? Like, it will show you what form it is for that outbreak and not, like, just the Pokemon. So for, I guess, more or less for the new Sinistee, or the, what's it, a Poltegeist? There we go. Gotta remember the name now. But Poltegeist, like, though, if you have an authentic Poltegeist outbreak, it'll show up with a question mark, assuming you haven't caught one.
Yeah.
Which is very nice. But, yeah, it's just been, like, honestly, the box lag is my thing I'm very happy about.
Yeah, the
like,
box lag is, it's nice to have, like, I don't know, I thought the box lag was one of the things that was my biggest annoyance with the original release.
I can because, do it because I can deal with a bit of buggy gameplay and stuff, but that was just like, yeah. I can't even organize my boxes because it takes like 5 minutes for the thing to load up. Like,
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was obnoxious.
Yeah. Pokemon Unite, I guess? Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of obnoxious, no.
I don't
know.
I don't blame you for that determination.
Since it's, Blaziken's been released, and since it's a new Pokemon, I can only imagine it's horribly broken, so use it while it's still broken. I don't know if they've even announced what's next, or if this is the end of their mini little roadmap for the
for a little bit. We know.
Well, no,
Mimikyu's
they definitely have like ghost
next.
Types coming. They have to have a ghost.
Yeah.
Mimikyu's next. I don't remember if we have anything past that that's officially revealed.
I'm just waiting because at some point they're gonna drop. I don't know, Sprigatito or something.
Oh, that is the one that's coming.
That's actually
coming. Actually,
that
was the one after it. It is.
Oh, okay.
No, that no, it's actually not leaked. I believe it's actually revealed, I believe, that the first gen
one. Oh, is it properly
one,
revealed, finally?
I believe it is, yeah. I remember them showing the showcase of, like, the Unite move of it, just, like, it just struts down the center lane, and it's just, like, some AoE, like, Sparkle or something. I don't remember.
I just, you know, what I was hoping for was Flower Trick would just have global range. So you're just doing your own thing, and all of a sudden a little plant falls on you, and you take a bunch of damage.
Who knows? But, you know, Sprigatito, there might be something past it, but I think it is, like, because I think the last, like, direct we had was, like, they were talking about Mewtwo, then it was, yes, like, Blaziken, Mimikyu, then they, like, revealed Sprigatito, and it's like, oh, okay, here you go, he's the first Gen 9 Pokemon in Unite. And and I don't think we have anything past that. I want to say, I don't know. Who knows?
On the Pokemon Go front, we've got a few things. First of all, there's a Grubbin Community Day September 23rd. So it's actually something semi-useful, which is shocking nowadays. Also, there's an event called the Psychic Spectacular. They have one of these every year. It runs this year from the 20th of September to the 24th. And it adds shiny Solosis to the game, and you get bonus experience for curveballs. So, yay.
And if you're doing any of those things that require you to catch a bunch of psychics, there you go.
That which there were a lot of those this year so far, so this is actually
useful. That'll run through the community day. Blah.
Well, it'll probably get paused. They usually, like, there's just so many Grubbin that it's just going to drown out any psychic Pokemon that you see on the community day. But
it technically does run through it, but yeah, it'll probably drown out. But onto the TCG stuff. The McDonald's now has the Pokemon cards and toys and stuff in the U.S., so we've got that now.
Woo! I can't wait for some influencer to buy 100 of them.
At least the last ones, I think, were... I think they're cheap, actually, thankfully. The expensive ones right now, I think, are still, like, the... what's it called? The 25th anniversary ones, because there's just so many cards. Because usually it only has, like, 12. But instead they decided, we're just going to do 50.
Yeah, they learned from that one time during COVID.
Yeah.
Where they put, like, actual things in there that they can just calm it down. I think, I haven't looked at the actual set, but I didn't hear anything spectacular, so.
There's only one card there that I can think of that's worth anything, and that's just a Titan, because I think the Zorobox decks run it.
Yes.
Because it's a double colorless that does, like, a bunch of damage if you have special energy, so it's, like, that's, like, the only card that's, like, worth anything, but I haven't seen Zorobox do anything in the last, like...
Oh, it's not doing anything real, let me tell you that.
No, but if you want to play it, that's, like, the only blink card I could think of, other than I got the Pikachu. Cool. Pikachu. Woo.
Yeah.
But,
But they also announced the TCG Illustration Contest for this year, and submissions run through the end of January, and the theme is Magical Pokemon Moments. Okay. And the Pokemon that are allowed... or that you can choose from are Charizard, Pikachu, Eevee, what a shock, Feraligatr, Flygon, Absol, Bidoof, Melmetal, Amped Up Toxtricity, we don't care about the other Toxtricity, unfortunately, and Coridon.
Okay, to be fair, the other Toxtricity is not nearly as cool as Amped Up Toxtricity.
Oh, totally, but I just feel like, we're gonna show one, like, they don't call it Amped Up Toxtricity and the card, it's just Toxtricity, so I don't see why that matters, but okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, alright, I guess you can only do that one. They don't want the other one, even though it's like, unless maybe they're planning on doing an EX or something for it. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But these are probably going to be separate promos anyways. Like, the last one was, like, Pokemon Center, where they had just if you buy, like, $20 and put this code in. Oh, they had the code lottery, too. You had to, like, sign up for the code. So you'll probably, get the code, buy $20, put the code in, get your promos.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that we're possibly getting a Feraligatr card, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what the thing with, they look at these and go, like, okay, Feraligatr, Flygon, Absol, like, these might come somewhere. Like, Absol's here and there. But, like, Flygon and Feraligatr, you don't usually see that often.
No, Flygon and Feraligatr do get forgotten pretty often. There was one in the Sword and Shield block, though. All right. Well, next piece of news. This is actually pretty exciting news, I think.
Yeah. The first wave of the 151 set releases in the U.S. this week.
Yeah, this Friday it comes out.
Yeah, please don't commit crimes to get it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's going to be overprinted like crazy, in all honesty.
Hopefully. I still need to get the Pokemon Center ETB or at least pick up that promo.
There's like, a, uh, Yeah, there's all that comes out this week, I believe, are the booster bundles, the Elite Trainer boxes. And there's also the poster collection that comes out as well.
Right, yeah. They're like one of the box sets, yeah. Then the week after, no, it's like 2 weeks from
it's
now.
It's 2 weeks
like
after for the big Mew 151 thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's on the 6th of October is that thing's release.
Yeah, so that comes out a little bit later. But that's, yeah, so 151 comes out this week, so look out for that. My only worry is that I know it's going to be very popular with just collectors. Like, I went to NAIC with some of my old friends from college, and we were hanging out, and they were like really into the Pokemon card idea, about like collecting again, and they're just like, well, what we would get, and like I had them open some packs with me and stuff like that. They're like, ah, these are okay, but like I don't know most of these Pokemon. I'm like, oh, then you want this set that's coming out not in September. I showed them 151 and they're just like, oh yeah, I want to collect this.
I am so glad that we are getting the set numbering that Japan had.
Yeah.
Cause I always thought we weren't getting that.
I was worried about
that. But now that we are, it's so nice. Japan has it ordered in like numerical. So like Bulbasaur is one,
U2 and then Charmander is 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause usually how they do it, they put it, the set numbers, it's like by types instead of like actual like dex number. But for 151, they're literally doing it 1 to 151, and then like the last like what 14 cards are like trainers, I think,
trainers,
like that,
yeah.
Or like bling cards, which is
fine. Well, I know there's full arts and stuff too, so.
Oh yeah, there's illustrator rares too and all that, but like,
yeah,
I'm just glad that like I'm glad we're at least getting that numbering, because that's just cool. That's a cool thing if you're doing a smaller set anyways.
It's a cool set.
Might be something I try to get collected and stuff, because I don't think it'll be that bad. There might be a couple, like, the Charizard will probably be bad, but, like, it's...
I don't think it'll even... I don't even know if the Charizard will be that bad. I don't think it'll be that bad.
It's... For the set in general, Charizards are usually, like, the worst cards. Like, even the one Illustrator. Like, the Charizard just from Obsidian Flames is, like, at least $20, maybe 15 now. I don't know if it's dropped. But, like, it's like
dropping,
$20
enough. Because it's not that good.
Yeah.
Even the Illustrator one is going down too.
The Illustrator one is going down a lot, yeah. No, I think it's like last I checked it was 80 or it's like 70, yeah. High 70s. So I'm like.
Yeah, and that was $100 like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was more. They're definitely going down. It's just like, it'll be rough for a little while at the very least. Like, you'll have a good window to pick them up for probably really cheap, but it's like.
Yeah.
You just gotta gauge it right.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
The next thing you know, it does good and it just shoots up in price and then you just kick yourself. Yeah.
All right. Coming. Well, that is it for the news. We do have Puckle's Pokey Opinion. If you were artistic, which I'm glad they added that qualifier, which Pokemon would you choose to illustrate for the TCG contest this year? I would have, it's Magical Moments. I already got the picture in my mind. It's just a Feraligatr.
Yes, tell us about your, how you draw your Feraligatr thatch.
Yeah. He would be sitting down at the edge of a pond. With his little feet sticking out in front of him. And, like, he would have, like, either, like, a Volbeat or a Cutie Fly or, like, something just, like, landing on his nose. I think it'd be real cute.
That's very good.
That's a magical moment in Pokemon. Somebody could take this idea and run with it, by the way. I give you full credit to go ahead and do it. If you do, I ask is that you share the art with me.
Like, I don't want another Bidoof, but I would just imagine a Bidoof with a little, like, wizard's hat and a, like, it's holding a stick and trying to be, like, a magician.
Oh, that...
There's, like, a poster of a Delphox or something, and it's trying to mimic it.
It's, yeah, oh, it's that's, got, like, a that's stick adorable, and, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be
you
adorable.
See, like, a tree where it just bit the stick off of or something and it's holding it and just trying to imitate.
That's pretty good, actually.
Like, Bidoof is an easy Pokemon to make something like that, because you get, like, the comedy of Bidoof. Not that I even care about Bidoof, honestly, but like,
yeah, like it's an easy Pokemon. It's an easy funny thing.
Yeah, it's an easy Pokemon you can just go, oh, I can make this thing silly.
Yeah, I think what I would do is just go full Makoto Shinkai Starbox, like a beautiful sky, and have Koridon looking up at it with, you know, one of the Gen 9 trainers sitting on its back, just going, you know, that very classic, you know. Yeah, like the stargazer pose.
Yeah. You can even just do it like, oh, you're at a picnic and you're like stargazing with the picnic table in the background or like off to the side or something and just make it turn that into a scene.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to be it for our news segment. We're going to kick everything on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Well, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Poke Quiz. This is the part of the show where we quiz your co-host. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to jump right on into it with your first question today. And this is from G. McP. And it is a true or false question. True or false, in Pokemon X and Y, baby Pokemon caught in the wild are guaranteed to have 3 random IVs of 31.
So I think this is true, because I think what happens is it gives all Pokemon that you cannot breed, if they're in that group, it gives them 331 IVs. I think that's why it happens.
That seems plausible. I think that was X and Y was the first game that actually implemented that.
And I can totally see them having made the oversight of these Pokemon evolve and therefore leave that egg group at some point, because nothing else changes egg groups when it evolves.
I can easily see a thing like, if the thing can't breed, it's just got a perfect 30. I can easily see that was the flag they marked. And I'm just willing to say that was true, just out of curiosity.
Interesting to be true, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm like, I'd rather it be true than not true at this point, because that sounds interesting. It does sound interesting. So.
It is true.
That makes sense. Okay.
It is true. For exactly the reasons you've said. They were in the no eggs discovered egg group that the legendaries were in. And they're just like, who's going to catch this this Mime Jr.? So, yeah, that's true.
Wow, you raised an Elekid? Cool, have 331 IVs for not waiting, I guess.
I guess.
you need to breed a perfect Pokemon in, like, X and Y, and you don't have a Ditto? Here you go. Just go catch, like, the baby one of it, and just assuming it falls in that category.
All right. Well, you're 1 for 1. Your next question is going to come to you from Smeargle19. What was the first Pokemon to be distributed via Nintendo Wi-Fi connection? So this would be like the Gen 4 Wi-Fi. What is the first Pokemon that was distributed via Nintendo Wi-Fi connection? This is like Pokemon history.
But what was the like early?
I remember the Mew in Gen 3. I don't know anything before that. But I bet there is not. I bet Mew was not the first one to be distributed.
My knee jerk is that I would think that we guess the most distributed Pokemon of all time, which is Jirachi, because Jirachi has been given a Tenabata basically every year forever.
Yeah, that does make sense though too. I'm just thinking like. Easily for, like, I don't remember what Japan got on their Colosseum stuff, because I know we got Jirachi on the disc, I just don't remember what they got.
They got Jirachi another way, but also those.
Yeah. I'm willing to go with Jirachi, because I do feel like that makes sense. Like, the event, like, Tanabata, whatever, and just, like, it does make sense. Because I just don't really know. Like, it's like
and we're talking about a Pokemon, not, like, an item, right?
Oh, yeah. I assume that's what it is. It's the first Pokemon to be distributed, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Via Wi-Fi.
Via Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was definitely Gen... Yeah, I'm okay with saying Jirachi.
Sure, yeah, I can't think of anything else.
There's probably something in Gen 2 I bet we're probably missing, but I just don't know what Japan, like, distributions are. I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're locking in Jirachi, then?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Jirachi is correct.
Okay.
Jirachi was the first one given out online. There was an event, I believe it was the, oh my gosh, what is it called? There was
Jirachi
some event
Wishmaker?
Where, I don't know, it wasn't the Wishmaker Jirachi, that one was the one you got on the Colosseum bonus disc. It was in 2009 in Japan, but 2010 in the US, they gave out one with the Draco Meteor, as an attack, and that was the first Pokemon that was ever given away on the, Wi-Fi. The fact that it took them like a whole year post the game coming out for that to happen is kind of insane to me,
well,
but that's fine.
Wi-Fi wasn't, like, not everyone had it.
Or yeah. 3 years. Yeah, no, Wi-Fi wasn't big back then. I remember...
I was also totally misreading, misunderstanding the question, so I'm glad that was it.
That was the that was the first one though.
Distribution, and it's not Wi-Fi. The most.
Oh, not first distribution. This is the first Wi-Fi distribution.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's what I didn't think. I didn't like. I heard it.
The first distribution would have just been Mew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, that's what I was thinking. First distribution, not first Wi-Fi. Went in one ear, went out the other.
All right. Well, you guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. And this is going to come to you from Albatross and Eagle 13. Its Pokemon Y entry reads, it chews its way through boulders with its sturdy jaws. Its eyes can see in the darkness underground. Who's that Pokemon?
Which entry was this? X and Y?
Pokemon Y.
Pokemon Y.
It chews its way through boulders with its sturdy jaws. Its eyes can see in the darkness underground.
That could be so many things.
Yeah. So it's a burrowing Pokemon, and it has night vision.
With a jaw. Like a strong jaw.
Yeah.
A strong jaw. I will tell you it doesn't get a strong jaw. It doesn't have the strong jaw ability, I'll tell you that much.
Well, yeah, because in Gen 6, the only thing that did was Tyrant, and I guess Mega Sharpedo, but that wouldn't have had a Dex entry.
No.
And doesn't live underground.
Yet.
outside of BDSP, it does not live underground.
Yet.
Don't do this to me, Shamu.
Let's see if I can give you an additional entry for free.
Okay.
Just because it is semi-vague. I do agree with that. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the entry. This is going to be from, I believe, Diamond Version. Tempered underground under high pressure and heat. Its body is harder than any metal.
Lairon? Like, that would chew.
It does sound like that.
I'm going to say Lairon.
Lairon.
That actually, yeah.
Lairon is unfortunately incorrect. You're kind of on the correct lines, though. The next entry is going to come to you from Pokemon Black and White, and it says, it is thought that its body transformed as a result of iron accumulating internally from swallowing soil.
Steelix?
What? I don't know. Honestly.
It would have to have gained the steel type. I'm going to say Steelix, and they don't realize that we just gave that thing a steel supplement before yeeting it through the blind eternities in a trade.
I honestly have no idea, so I'm okay with it at this point. I'm thrown off from a Gen Y to a Gen 4, and now we have a Black and White entry. I don't know.
I'm going to say Steelix.
Steelix is correct.
Okay.
Cool. You guys are 3 for 3. Your next question is going to be your multiple answer question. You guys can get up to 3 points on this. There are 6 answers. So for every 2 answers, I'll give you a point. This is from Trev, the late night legend. What 6 baby Pokemon evolve at a set level?
Elekid, Magby, Smoochum.
Yeah.
All 3 of those are correct. I assume you locked those in.
Yeah.
Yes. With that Tyrogue.
Yep. Tyrogue is 1 because
that is 4. 20. That is 4. That is correct. There are 2 more.
Do we have strikes?
You have strikes. 3 strikes and you're out.
Toxel.
Toxel is correct. One more.
Yeah. What other? I'm thinking, I get to go immediately, the aren't level. I know.
I'm just like, what baby Pokemon are left?
So, Happiny, Junior, Bonsly are not. They are not. Yeah. They evolve via a move or happiness or item.
Togepi evolves with happiness.
Yep.
Cleffa evolves with happiness.
Igglybuff as well. Pichu as well. What other?
Ryolu is happiness. Igglybuff is also happiness. Happy.
Igglybuff, Cleffa, Pichu, though they're all happiness as well. Yeah.
Azurill?
Azurill is also friendship.
Chingling is happiness, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it's happiness at night or something, or during morning or day or something. I think it had a restriction on it.
Mm. Ryolu, I know, is happiness.
Munchlax is also happiness.
Stupid kids, you gotta be nice to them.
Why can't we just kick them around? Let them learn frustration. Oh, wait.
What about why not?
I think why not is level. I think it's level 20.
Sure. Why not?
I think. Why not?
Why not? Is correct. It's level 15, okay. I believe it's level 15.
Oh, yeah, 15's right. Yeah, 15's sure. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Pokemon not being friendship actually makes a lot of sense because it's hard to keep that thing in battle.
Oh, for sure.
Also wants to get hit so it can, smack you back.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
So you guys are 6-4. We're on to your last question as always. And this is always a base stat question. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to ask you this from Zay Paladin. Both my options were from Zay Paladin today. The question was, which fully evolved Swift Swim Pokemon has the lowest base speed to make that Swift Swim absolutely useless?
That would be Beartick, I think, or are they recounting? Like, I don't remember if it lost it or not. I thought Beartick got it.
No, Beartick does, but Beartick's speed isn't that.
It's like 55, but I guess it is usable.
There is stuff that's slower. I think, because I know that's the ability that Karakosta gets, and I can't remember if its speed's like 20.
It's not 20, but it is.
It's
low.
Bad enough where after a shell smash, it still gets routinely outsped.
Karakosta sounds better than Beartick to me, honestly. I know it's like, I think it's
that
slower.
Or the other turtle, but I think Dreadnought's at least like
Dreadnought's
mid-60s.
Okay. Dreadnought's, I think, higher than Beartick, actually, or at least close enough. I think Karakosta is probably slower, because if that is, like, you can't shelf mesh and use Swift Swim, that sounds reasonable to be slower.
Yeah. If it could shell smash Swift Swim and it isn't, that tells me that it's got to be, like, abysmal. I'm going to go with Karakosta.
Sure, I'm okay with that. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head for a fully evolved Pokemon.
Karakosta is correct. It is a base speed of 32.
That's bad.
Second place goes to Armaldo at 45.
Right, Armaldo, the one too, yeah.
And third place goes to Beartick with 50. Dreadnought's base speed's actually like 74. Sure. It's not that bad.
Huh.
Yeah, Dreadnought was like decent, yeah. I remember that one being like okay.
I guess it's one of those Pokemon where it was made late enough where they weren't crippling things for no reason.
Mm-hmm. No, Dreadnought is actually pretty decent as a Pokemon. I'm just disappointed Dreadnought never got to be just like a standalone Pokemon and Chewtle exists.
Yeah, Chewtle's the worst. All my homies hate Chewtle.
Oh, well, I'm like looking at these speeds too, like some of these too. Corbis is 52.
Wow.
Yeah, but it also has Shell Smash.
Yeah.
Sure, but it's also a 52 Swift Swimmer with no other options. So...
Look, yeah. They can give me a regional Corvus Huntail evolution.
You can get hydration,
it's fine.
I guess. It's fine. You can do Rest Talk Rain. It's fine. God.
Rest Talk Rain. We're doing Rest Talk with hydration?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was just thinking Rest, and I just said Rest Talk. I don't know.
It's fine.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead here, and I'm going to add in some points. You guys got 8 today. Which does, in fact, change up the standings. So let me go find that. This is a race to 40, to remind you all. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to let you know. In first place is still Seth Vila with 25. However, now in second place, we've got Linian with 22. In third, we've got a two-way tie between Shark and Dr. Shamu at 20. Whimsicott is in fifth with 17. We've got a two-way tie for sixth place between Mark and Sublime at 14. In eighth place, we got a tie between Sigma and Jushiro at 12. And bringing up the rear, we got Claude 9 at 6. So it's a race to 40, still anybody's game. Let's see who can get there. Until next time, you can tune into next week's episode for another episode of Puckle's Pokey Quiz. Until then, we're kicking it on over to the topic. Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh!, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout. Get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the Teal Mask DLC. Thoughts, impressions, expressions of outrage.
I mean, there aren't many of those. Well, there's one.
I think there's one that I think we can all talk about. But just before we dive into it, I just want to let everybody know that there are spoilers in this episode, because I think it's very hard to talk about this without including any details about the game. or the DLC, mostly because it's I would say it's roughly like a 4 or 5 hour adventure at most.
Yeah, you could probably get 8 hours worth in total of like doing other side stuff, but like it's
if you take your time, it's gonna take you like 8 hours, I think.
Yeah,
at most, it's
yeah,
it's an appropriate amount of content. It's just not enough where we can talk about it in multiple long form bursts.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's more than there was in Isle of Armor, right? Like Isle of Armor, I think that's obviously like the comparison to make, right?
Yeah.
How do you compare this to Isle of Armor? And obviously, I think we could all agree that the story is just much more present and there.
Yeah, there's more story, I would say. It's just like, I don't care with how they did it. I don't care with the presentation.
They implemented it very oddly. There are points, so you do have the new characters, Carmine and Kieran. Who are I guess those are going to be like your new buddies essentially in the DLC, because I just assume,
yeah, because they're very clearly showing up again, right? Like
no, well, it's when you end it, when you're done, it just says to be continued.
Yeah.
So my assumption is that, I mean, they both go to the Blueberry Academy.
We're going to Blueberry Academy and DLC too.
Yeah, exactly. And Blueberry Academy, by the way, was announced to be, or wasn't announced, but was shown to be in Hoenn, or not Hoenn, Unova.
Unova.
Which is both terrifying and cool to me, because like if this is just like remake writing on the wall, please don't let it be remake writing on the wall. But I do think it's very I like that we are going back to Unova in some way. I did really like the story, though, the fact that we had one and it was very present. It was very forefront. And I honestly, after I thought about it a little while, I'm just like, that's kind of just been the story of Scarlet and Violet, though. I've been very impressed with the story.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there was I can't believe I'm going to say this, but let's rip the Band-Aid off. I wish the game had taken a little bit of fake agency away.
Yes.
Because if they had just, like, never given me a chance to pick an option.
Yeah.
I would have felt less bad.
Yeah, there's a point where they, you have to, like, lie to Kieran, and that obviously, like, awakens something in him, by the way, which I hope gets explained.
It has to be. And they've done a lot of interesting seeding. Like, if you ever... Briar's whole thing is basically, she shows up and says, "Hi, I'm not important to this one, but remember that I'm here."
Yeah, remember that I'm here, yeah.
Oh my god. She gave me so many weird vibes.
Well, she's definitely very much into, like... Because she's a descendant of Heath. She's very much into, like, proving that he wasn't crazy. Which makes me wonder if she's the reason that we get stuff. We get the paradox Pokemon of like Virizion, and like she's the reason for like Walking Wake.
Yeah, if her imagination pulls them into existence, kind of thing.
If she's the one that does that, because I can see Professor Turo and Professor Sada. Like, I understand the paradox Pokemon we currently have, but I imagine that the other three are because she wants to like prove that Heath was correct, and she pulls them out of somewhere. But I mean, this is very speculative at this point, because they like opened up more cans of worms, I feel like, than anything.
They raised questions.
They raised a lot of questions. The one thing that I thought was very interesting in Kitakami is they just have more Terastal Crystals.
Yeah, just unaddressed Terastal Crystals. So now I have...
They just don't bring this up.
I have to assume that they are coming out of the Earth, because at this point, I thought it was going to be like an impact site, but then why is there one in Kitakami?
They're in Kitakami, and then we kind of see it as well in the Blueberry Academy with how they're separating the things in their terrarium.
Or the terrarium, yeah.
But yeah, but that one was at least tech someone else could have put in. These are very clearly naturally occurring and have been for centuries.
I do agree with you. It just feels very like Briar does make, there's like a, I don't want to call it a throwaway line, because it probably isn't a throwaway line when we get the second half of the DLC.
It's unaddressed in this arc.
She does say, like, oh, hey, this can help me. If I study these crystals here at the top of the mountain in Kitakami, maybe this will unlock the secret to bring terrestrialization to other regions.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think, is a really cool plot point. And in terms of, like, the way the Pokemon franchise has been operating lately, in terms of, like, hey, new mechanic, just ditch it after the next game. I find that very interesting, because the whole gimmick with at least Z-moves and Gigantamax / Dynamax has been like, these are region-specific phenomenon.
I just can't wait for her to be evil so it never happens.
That's what I wanted to get to for a second, because I didn't see that line.
Oh, 100%.
Because I didn't see the line you're talking about. I didn't even catch it. But the one I caught was at the top of the mountain. She's like, oh, if I, like, I can unlock... She like, name-dropped Terapagos. Like, unlock Terapagos' like, new form. And I'm like...
Yeah, yeah. No, no. Well, she knew about it from the book. She knows about it because she has a copy of the Scarlet/Violet book.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, about how she said it and other things she's saying... I have a feeling she's going to do something and it's going to be like, I'm the villain, even though I did an oopsie and now I'm the villain type of thing.
I feel like she's.
Cause she gives me like crazy scientist vibes in a way of like, I'm like, I have tunnel vision. I want my terrestrialized dream. I'm just going to go for it. And then something's going to happen. Like, I'm like, oh no, what happened?
I feel like she's going to.
And also, given the fact that there's randomly a kid under her care who can raise the dead.
Yeah, what's going on? Okay, the fact that Kieran, like, you lied to him and he gets angry enough that he, like, punches a statue and brings Pokemon that have passed away back to life is very concerning to me.
I have a weird feeling that's, like, I don't think it's the crystal. Some people have been saying, like, he picked up the chip of the crystal and that's what caused it. I just think those Pokemon might, like, feed off of negative emotion or something. I haven't read the Dex entries, so...
No, they haven't, though, because their whole thing is that they were just normal Pokemon until they interact with some neurotoxin that boosted their intelligence.
Oh, that is what, okay.
But to me, because remember, okay, so this is literally just coming to me, and I'm sleep deprived, so maybe I'm just crazy, all right? But the leading theory is that the power of imagination is what brings causes these Pokemon to show up, right?
So we're thinking it's paradox Pokemon, essentially?
That Kieran has a particular view of those Pokemon, that they are particularly heinous and evil.
Mm. Oh.
Which appears to be true, but it might be that Kieran is somehow pulling the power of imagination to bring them back as he sees them.
That makes sense to a degree. From what we've known so far, that does seem
I don't like that that makes sense because I don't want to believe that's the way it works.
Yeah.
But also, it doesn't make a ton of sense because everything else supports them having always sucked like that.
But there's also, we know that there's crystals at the top of the mountain, which means there's probably a good chunk of them inside the mountain. Well, we don't know. No, it could be the hollow side, but like...
Or just, it's literally in the water.
But yeah, exactly. Like, it's in the water, you know, so it's just all around.
It's in the spring that he went up and spent a lot of time at.
Yeah, that's true. It's very... I don't know. It's interesting to me. They also make a point of like pointing out that he's very moody a couple times.
Yeah, and everyone's saying this is not only unusual for him, but like above and beyond normal teenager bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like it's very clear that something is going on with him. The story is interesting. I don't like that they make us lie. It's a very odd choice.
It just feels. Yeah, it feels like there could have been, I mean, this is extra dev time, but like a choose one where you either lie to Kieran and then that sets his sister off.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or you side with her and it sets Kieran off.
Can we talk about how Carmine is also terrible, but...
She's just the worst!
She also wants to be just like an evil team boss, right? Because when you're going around fighting the Loyal Three... in their Titan forms. By the way, I think the way they handled like the quote unquote like Titan battles that we had it throughout all of these were very well done.
Yes, it was good.
Oh yeah, they were cool. Yeah,
I actually really enjoyed these Titan battles. I think they were fantastic and some of the best. Like this was some of the best Pokemon content I have played.
It was very solid.
Outside of just like in terms of just like the battles and the challenges and stuff like that, I thought it was actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was almost BDSP levels of good.
There was a lot that was really good. Other than that one weird quirk, I even liked a lot of the story. I enjoy that I have a Pokemon team member that has canonically killed four people.
Sorry, three.
But yeah, no, she beat them to death with the club.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. On top of that, I feel like Kieran and Carmine are like the worst part of this DLC.
I would agree. Yeah, their characterizations, like, I'm gonna be mean to my brother. Why is he angry? Like, what do you think? Do you not know what you just said?
Yeah, it's just like familial abuse.
Yeah, and then Kieran goes full Joker arc, which I didn't like. People are like, oh, he's the worst. I'm like, he's a moody kid, and something else seems to be going on. I don't hate him, but also, what? Why is this the arc?
Yeah, Kieran is very odd. I was very impressed with the battles against him and also Carmine. Like, they consistently gave the Morpeko from Carmine a focus sash, which I really appreciated that they...
So you could see its really fun new animation where it gets hungry or eats a snack.
Okay, the animations for some of the returning Pokemon were actually really good. I was actually, like, I said this about Scarlet and Violet, too, when we got those and saying that the animations were fantastic. And I stand by that with all of the new Pokemon as well. Or the returning Pokemon, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just gives them all a new life. And I like seeing things evolve in the past decade in Pokemon, right? Like when we first got 3D models and a lot of them just got washed out and felt very lifeless. To this is very nice to see.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the the side content is pretty good. Specifically,
mm-hmm.
the Blood Moon
yeah.
Ursaluna. Where it starts playing the noble battle theme when it shows up.
Well, even then, before that, when you'd have to do the picture side quest,
mm-hmm.
like if you listen to the background music, that's all PLA background music.
Yeah,
I love that. I was just like, wow, they're really like trying to bring a piece of PLA into this game, and I can really really feel it.
And
on top of that, you catch Blood Moon Ursaluna, which is this whole thing, and I don't understand its existence.
It's really cool. I like it a lot.
I think it's cool. I just don't understand its existence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a little weird that it just popped up out of nowhere, but it is a cool thing, and I'm glad they kind of turned it on its head for what it does, which is cool. But like,
yeah, it's a really slow special attacker, and they gave it a normal type Boom Burst / Gigaton Hammer.
Yeah, I would love to have seen the Titan battle against that. Also, was very difficult, and I very much like that. I do wish they would give us a way to evolve an Ursaring into one at some point, but that's fine. Like I think that's my only gripe with the existence of Blood Moon Ursaluna is that there's no way for us to evolve an Ursaring into one.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind it too much because it felt very much like this was a legendary Pokemon that happened to be an Ursaluna.
It's definitely meant to be. I would feel much better if even we could evolve a regular Ursaring into a regular Ursaluna.
Oh no, that's exactly what I was going to say is I don't feel bad about it. The fact that I can't get a normal Ursaluna, I am annoyed by.
I think that's like the one thing that I expected us to get in this DLC that we didn't get was a way to evolve a lot of the Hisuian Pokemon.
Or at least catch more than one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm very... thankfully, the DLC being released like dug up and leaked everything else from the next decks. And it looks like Kleavor's in the next decks, which is kind of nice. So maybe something will come of that, I'm hoping.
Yeah, because I can kind of just see, like, we're going to Blueberry, hear the Terrestrialization thing, here's a bunch of, like, she's doing research on stuff, too, so there's a good chance we can get a bunch of access to the technology or something, and it's...
I just imagine in the Terrarium, they...
Or it could just be something, or even in the Terrarium, they're in the wild, you know, they could have just, like, here's this extinct Pokemon we got a hold of, and we've let it multiply and found out ways for it to thrive.
I just imagine they accidentally like dig up like the black augurate or something, and maybe we get P-Block at the same time, which I hope is the case. That would be my hope.
I feel like if we get the way to evolve one, we'll get the way to evolve the other, I feel.
Oh, I think you'll get those two. I like the ones I'm still worried about are like Weirdeer and Quillfish. I was just like, oh, there's no way they can't allow us to evolve these, and then I just remember Meltan exists, and then my logic goes out the window.
It's alright, Unity's dying, it'll take Pokemon Go with it, and then Pokemon will finally add the Thunderstone evolution they've clearly wanted to.
They clearly need it too, right? Like, I think this is actually the first game where you can evolve a Nosepass with a Thunderstone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very nice. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Pokemon, for making that canon.
I think we knew about that before.
It wasn't in BDSP.
We knew it was possible, but it's the only time you've been able to catch one, so...
Yeah, it's the only time you've been able to catch one. Yeah. So thank you for doing that, finally, Pokemon. I appreciate you making Nosepass a Stone Evolution. Thank you. I think the map was also very good, too. Like, just the area that we got. Kitakami, it feels like... I don't know what... I can't tell you the size exactly, but it feels like 1/6-ish the size of Paldea, something like that, you know? Maybe a quarter...
And because there are so many new Pokemon, especially early on, it did feel like there's a reason to explore. I enjoyed it.
I think the part that I was most upset about is that when you first get to Kitakami, they're just like, oh, go to the caretaker. And then you're just seeing these wild Pokemon along the way. And a lot of them are up on the rice fields, which you need Coridon / Maridon to get up into.
Yes.
And they don't let you ride them for this first entrance sequence. And I was very frustrated.
They also time lock you, which meant by the end of the DLC, until time started to roll, I was only missing the night Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do time lock you, which was unfortunate.
I get why, but it was rough. Yeah.
I really like it, though, because, like, the areas seem varied. I'm not upset with the size. Like, I'm not, like, this is too small.
No. If anything, I was thinking, like, this could have been shrunk down a little bit, and I don't think I would have cared.
I wouldn't have noticed, for sure.
But I didn't mind that it was big. There was a lot to see.
Yeah, my only minor gripe, and this is probably just a minor gripe with the way they're doing DLCs, and I want to stress this is minor, right? I can't say that enough. Is that when we get a DLC, they come out with, like, the regional decks. And then when we get the regional decks, I already have half of it.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it was a little bit more than half I had to complete, right? Like, the one that was really bad that I disliked was Crown Tundra, because they didn't put any of the legendary Pokemon on the decks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And so the way they padded the Crown Tundra decks is they made something like 140 of them Pokemon from Sword and Shield base and Isle of Armor.
Yeah, so your deck's completion is, like, essentially, like, 10 to, like, 15, like, evolutionary lines, and you're done.
Yeah, it's a very minor gripe. Like, very minor. But I, like, in the future, if we got a DLC, I know they're trying to stick with, like, we're only adding 100, probably because of some work limitation on how hard it is to develop a Pokemon sprite, but, like, even if it was, like, 125 per DLC, I would feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's go catch these things.
I feel like a little more to do to a degree, too, because you go around and you catch things like, oh, I've already kind of finished, like, 90% of the deck because right? And it comes down to, like, the last 10 you gotta do, where it's like, oh, here are these random evolutions, which I am glad they gave us all the items in the dex rewards, which was nice.
Yes.
Like, every item you need to evolve them, you got from that. But also, like, the way to get more, I think, is a little, like, I think the only way you can get it is Ogre Ousting.
More what?
More evolution items.
No, well, you can get all of them through Ogre Ousting, but I picked up Reaper Cloth just kind of on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think I think it might be teacups too, I don't know, but again, it's like weird, I don't...
Oh, teacups, the only way is there's one of each, and then you have to get more through Ogre Ousting.
I found two of one.
How do we feel about Ogre Ousting, by the way, the minigame that they added?
I think it's fine, it's just...
In terms of Pokemon minigames, I think it's actually, like, a pretty decent one.
It's very good. I was playing a little bit of it with my fiancé last night, and it was actually fairly challenging.
I think it's actually pretty good mini game for especially like coming out of a Pokemon game. Like, I'm actually really impressed.
Better than the Rotom bike races.
I need one more. If we had one more person, the one thing I will say is it's very hard to get reasonable rewards single player.
Yes.
If not out and out impossible at points.
Like, I was just really impressed when I played it. I'm like, wow, this has the potential to be like a really fun game. Like, defend your castle collection? This sounds fun. So, I don't know. I'm just very much into it.
I think the new Pokemon they added all seem to be interesting and very much OU usable. That includes Diplin. I thought Diplin was terrible. And then it turns out,
Eviolite's working on Diplin, huh?
Yeah, and so given that was on Kieran's team and he went full off the deep end at the end there. Yeah, that'll be fun to see him use. But because it has...
Yeah, he's definitely going to evolve that Diplin.
But because of that, Diplin turns out to be, because of its hidden ability, Sticky Hold, turns out to be a pretty good tank.
Oh yeah, because they can't lose the Eviolite, yeah.
And you can't lose Eviolite. I'm trying to find its stats, because Seth...
It's like 80 across the boardish, something like that.
When calced with Eviolite, it has the equivalent of 80, 190, 129 bulk.
Yeah, good on you, Diplin.
So, Diplin has some usability, maybe? Ogerpon is ridiculous.
Ogerpon is crazy. I think the worst one is actually, like, Pheasantipity, unfortunately.
Pheasantipity is so bad. But Ogerpon has all the different types, but there's a hidden bit of text. It boosts your attack stat by 20% when Ogerpon is holding any of the masks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have a slightly worse life orb that gives you access to a really good ability, a type that all three Ogerpon mask types were former exclusives.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, yeah.
Yeah, either Ludicolo, Scovillain, and,
Cradily.
Cradily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grath Rock is like, yeah.
You get a 100 power, 100 accuracy, high crit move of your stab type, ridiculous coverage, 20% attack power, and when you terastalize, you get a 50%, you get a, you know, a plus one to a relevant stat. That is like old Intrepid Sword. It's not once per battle. So Fire 1 has Mold Breaker, so it can hit Heatran, and then when it's down, it can flip into Zacian.
Yeah. I think Ogerpon is actually a really cool Pokemon, and I do want to take a moment to say I really like the way that they did the terrestrialization with Ogerpon.
Oh yeah, the mask just gets really big, and it's...
Well, I like that, and I kind of wish terrestrialization just like worked like that with every Pokemon instead, and it was just like, hey, here's this item, you got this new Terra type, and yeah, it's your held item now, instead of being like, every Pokemon's every type, all the time. I kind of like it.
Yes, it's, I like it overall. I'm not sure how much I'd like it to, if it was every mechanic. I think it would need something like this with the rider. Otherwise, you just get Z-Crystals again, which...
It would just be Z-Crystals to some extent.
Pros and cons.
Yeah, it would just be Z-Crystals. I don't know. I think it would fix a lot of the issues, at least that Smogon's having with it, right? And I mean, it is bad enough that, like, VGC had to change their rules to be able to allow it, because now you have open team sheets, so everybody has to have their team printed out and pass it to their opponent before every match, so that you're aware of what Terra type everything can be. So I don't know. It's like obviously a semi-issue. As a player of the game, that it is just fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it could certainly be an issue. But yeah, I mean, I think Ogerpon's a cool Pokemon, and I think the way they handled it, and I like that. The only thing I find odd is that we've got like, I'm going to put a grass mask in quotes because that's just no masks being held. We got grass, water, fire, but then they're just like, how about rock too? We'll just give you rock.
Well, they wanted three types because there are three stats that you can boost.
Yes.
That are relevant for a very physical attacker like Ogerpon, who is 100% female.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. It's also like, what, 100% female on that, and then the others are 100% male, which that's a choice. I don't know how. I don't know, like, but yeah, it's just weird. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's just, I just didn't expect to see, like, guaranteed genders.
Yeah. It was more just, oh, I assumed you would all be genderless.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. And I was like, I caught up, like, why is this why is this what? Like, and am I missing something? Are these, like, breedable? What? And then it's like, oh, okay, no, it's just, like, 100%. They just did genies.
I mean, I kind of like them going the route of not making them gendered, or not genderless, or making them not genderless. I think I'm fine with that. I like this a lot.
I'm fine with it. It was just surprising.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that, sure.
I also like the typing on the Loyal 3. It has been never that we have gotten like a poison type legendary / sub legendary trio it's very cool. Like, I really like it.
I was going to say, it's cool that there are so many and they were very weird types that have, you know, very underexplored types.
Poison fighting, I guess it's just Toxicroak, right? That's all we're dealing with, like Toxicroak?
And Sneasler. Sneasler.
Sneasler, 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 yeah. I knew there's another one.
There's also, but Poison Psychic was just those two. And is this the first Poison Fairy?
Poison Psychic was Slowbro, Galarian Slowbro.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, just those.
And Galarian Weezing for Poison Fairy.
Galarian Weezing, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But they were, I mean, they're types that I don't think we see a ton of.
We've got like 2 to 3 of each now, including these guys, so I'm glad we're getting more. Like, I think even with the Okidoki, I think actually it's okay. Its typing is terrible, but like, it's got bulk. Like,
Monkey Dory is terrifying.
Monkey Dory looks like the worst one.
No, it's the best.
Well, it's the worst design, but in mechanics, it's horrifying.
No, that's what I meant by the mechanics. It seems like, I mean, the worst in...
It's got 106 speed and 130 special attack.
In terms of being scary to play against, it looks like the best one. It does look like the best one competitively based on stats.
But then I look at it and I'm inspired to violence.
I hate how it looks.
The artwork, yeah, I think makes them all look terrible. I think when you see them in game, they look better.
They do. I still don't like it.
I think it's got a heart on its butt.
It does. It definitely does have a heart on its butt.
They all have hidden abilities, by the way, and I was like, that's weird. Are they going to distribute them? And then I remembered ability capsules exist.
Hidden abilities exist all the time.
Yeah, we just have ability patches that just, like, boom, you get them.
Yeah, they're all worse than Toxic Chain. It's Frisk on the monkey, Technician on Pheasant Dippity, and Okie-Dokie gets Guard Dog, which makes it immune to Intimidate and immune to Roar.
Okie-Dokie will definitely...
That's like the best of them.
Yeah.
Okie-Dokie will be good in like VG Thief just because Intimidate's there, and just having a Pokemon that goes, cool, you can't intimidate me, and now I'm going to get a plus one on a, what is it, 130, 128 physical attack? And 80 speed is still good for something like this, but like, that'll see VGC play. Pheasantipity would be good with Technician if it had moves it could use. Like...
Pheasantipity has one of the most atrocious move pools I've seen in so long.
Oh yeah, it's got a special move pool for a physical attacker.
It really doesn't even have that good of special move pool. It's just bad.
Well, you get Moonblast at the very least, which is not all fairy types even get Moonblast that want it.
I mean, it does get access to like play rough still.
No, but everything gets Moonblast this.
Yeah, but then you're not getting your Technician boost.
No, you're not doing Technician.
It's a fact of like you have like okay stuff for the physical, but you really want, if you're doing it like physical, like if you're even using the thing offensively, you want to have Technician access.
I am laughing very hard at the move pool that Special Ursaluna got. They gave it Moonblast, which yes, it makes perfect sense, but it's also really funny because it didn't need it.
It is. It only has like 5 special moves that are worth using.
But it's okay, because they're all obscene. They are all some of the best special moves you could ask for.
You get your Gigaton Hammer, you get Moonblast, you get Earth Power. You don't need anything else, but you could run Focus Blast, or you could just run Vacuum Wave. Just run Vacuum Wave, just to have, like, priority on a base, like, 40-speed Mon or 30-speed Mon with, like, 135 special attack. That's fine. Just have your priority. You don't need anything else. And I guess, honestly, you can even just run Calm Mind if you want to run that instead. Like, you get Calm Mind.
Does it have a deep move pool? No. But all of its tools hit you so hard it doesn't matter.
It's got enough coverage of Ground Fairy Normal, you're good. And if you really want fighting, you can have fighting to hit, like, Steel type that's, like a Flying Steel type, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know. I think all the new Pokemon were very fun and interesting. Like... I mean, with the exception of maybe Sinistchi, but...
No, that thing got heatproof.
I know it did, but, like, I still just don't find it an interesting Pokemon.
It's the worst of them, and it still has a cool move in Giga Drain plus Scald.
I think it's better than Pheasantipity, though. Pheasantipity's bad.
Pheasantipity's just terrible. I had such hope for the evolution of whatever Poltergeist was going to evolve into, and then it was just so bad.
I do like that they flipped the Sinistchi and Poltegeist. I do like that they flipped it.
I think it's cute. Yeah, you pour the tea into the cup.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's an interesting way to do it. I guess is the only thing I could say.
I think it's cute. I don't care for it. I like Poltegeist's design way better than Sinistchi, but like I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna lose my mind over it.
I actually really like Poltergeist design. Like, design-wise, I like it better than Sinistchi and Poltergeist. But then, like, Sinistra is just like, oh, did you want Sinistchi again? Because we did that. And it's just like, well, that's a little uninspired. But I understand. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's that exciting of a Pokemon. I do enjoy that the name of its one of its moves is Matcha Gacha.
Yes.
Matcha Gacha, the funny name, yeah.
I love that that's the name of the move. It's like a Giga Drain that can burn.
Yeah, it's Giga Drain Scald.
It's Giga Drain. Yeah, it's a smaller burn chance, but yeah,
20%. But yeah, it's 20% is like effectively Scald. It's a
20% is a lot.
It is. Yeah, 30%.
That's more than 10. I'll tell you that much. Like,
yeah, no, it's better than Flamethrower and Fire Blast. So it's like, yeah.
It's more than 10. So I think it's a very cute move. And I enjoy it being called a Matcha Gacha. No, it's an okay Pokemon. It's gonna be fine.
It's exactly what one of these should be.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
You know what? You can always just run Scald too, because it learns Scald. Which makes sense. It's just cool. Here's some water coverage for your grass type. That's immune to fire types.
It's not immune.
It gets heat proof, doesn't it?
Yes, which makes it resistant. One step.
Oh, it's resisted. I don't know. I'm thinking of...
Yeah, so it's just neutral. It's neutral to fire.
It's neutral to fire. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Neutral. Sorry. I don't know. I don't know if I think of the PTU one or if I was just losing my mind.
No, you're not. It's just that it's called heat proof and it doesn't make you heat proof.
It makes you heat resistant.
Or might be getting confused with Bronzong or something. I don't know. Thinking like Levitate mixed up with it or something. I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's entirely possible, but.
That, I don't know if there's anything else that we didn't cover, but I thought it was, done. I thought this DLC was very fun. I don't regret buying it, and I'm looking forward to the next one, because I hope that answers a lot. It feels like the meat and potatoes is in the next one.
Yeah, this was the best advertisement for a product I've already purchased.
I absolutely agree with that.
I'm hoping for a little more in the next one, because, like, I think it's fine, but I feel like the story with the story was fine for me, but I felt like it was, like, a little...
Oh, the next one's definitely gonna have more, though, right? Like, it has to have more.
I hope.
Well, because there's, like, two things that need to be done, right? The next one, you need to have, like, the Blueberry Academy stuff, which I think is a story in its own right. And then on top of that, you're going back to Area Zero for the hidden secrets of Area Zero, or the hidden treasure of Area Zero.
Because in my mind, how I feel is, like, Teal Mask was, like, $10 out of my 30, I feel. And I'm hoping...
I would agree with it.
Like, you can definitely justify 15, but, like, I personally feel it was, like, I got $5 for the area and the exploration. I got, like, $5 for, like, the base, like, content of things to do. Like, there's Ogre Ousting, there's a couple side quests, there's things to do. But, like, the $5 for the story, I don't feel like that was fully there. And that's where my, like... So it's like a 2 out of 3 for me. I wish the story was a bit better in the fact that, like, the Carmine and Kieran stuff was not so, like...
I think it's really hard to judge the Carmine and Kieran stuff without the second half.
It definitely is. I know it totally is, but it's also just the fact of, like, it just felt nonsensical in a way. Like, you don't even have a chance to apologize, and when you do, he's still just kind of like...
I think there's just...
Nah. He says, sure, but you know he's still hating, he's still upset, and it's just like, okay.
He's upset because he's like, what are you apologizing for? Like, come clean, and you just literally never have the option.
Yeah, and like at the end, it's just like, I think he says something kind of at the end, but even then it just feels like it's a throwaway at that point, it didn't matter, and it's like, alright, cool, now you...
I think there's just something deeper going on that will be explored.
Oh, totally, and I'm hoping that does get resolved in DLC too, and I assume it will, but again, we don't know.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to wait like 3 months, and we'll know, right? Like, in 3 months, we'll have an idea of what's going on.
Oh, is that all?
That's all, just 3 months. That's a very short wait, right?
I mean, comparatively, yes.
I mean, if I look back at like the Sword and Shield DLC, I feel like this is very comparable to Isle of Armor to what I expect to get it, because like I think Crown Tundra was also kind of where the meat and potatoes were.
It was, but
in that DLC pack too.
I feel like I got about a Crown Tundra out of this.
I don't disagree, which is very exciting for me, because I'm expecting us to get the same kind of like bump up with the next one. So I like we get an equivalent like bump up. So like this was a Crown Tundra, and then we get like Crown Tundra plus, right?
That's the hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, and I think that might be what happens. We'll see.
Yep, we have no way to say one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a good place to stop. I would recommend it. I mean, if you haven't played it, go play it. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy my time.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I'm not saying it wasn't a fun time, it's just I feel like I wish it got a little more.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for the topic here, guys. We're going to kick it on over now to the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you on the flip flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 1017, Ogerpon, the Mask Pokemon.
It's Pokemon Violet. Dex entry reads, this mischief-loving Pokemon is full of curiosity. It battles by drawing out the type-based energy contained within its masks.
Yay. And this week we're going to be talking about the Hearthflame mask in our team specifically, but for those of you who are unaware, Ogerpon's got access to 4 different masks, or really 3 that you can have it hold. And it will change its type. If you don't give it anything, it's going to be holding the teal mask, and it'll be just a pure grass type. Wellspring gives it a water type. The Hearthflame gives it fire, and the Cornerstone mask gives it rock. That also affects its Terra type, by the way. It does have a signature move in Ivy Cudgel, which will change type. It's base 100, and it has like an increased crit rate, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Increased crit rate as well. So it's just a very good move. I love the animation for it when it's not terrestrialized, by the way, where it just grabs a club.
Yep, it just grabs a club and beats you to death.
And beats you, yeah. The description is, the user strikes with an ivy-wrapped cudgel. The move's type changes depending on the mask worn by the user, and it has a heightened chance of landing a critical hit. So, very cool move in that sense as well. Like, Ogre Pond's just, like, decent, especially with its base stats that we were alluding to. Base 110 speed, so it's a speedy. You've got 80 HP, which is okay. 60 special attack, who cares, you're never going to use it. 120 base attack, as well as a special defense of 96. And it gets a different ability depending on which mask it's wearing. Defiant for the teal mask, water absorb for the wellspring mask, mold breaker for the hearth flame mask, and sturdy for the cornerstone mask. And if you terrestrialize, it gets a new form. In its terrestrial form, it's got embody aspect, which it gives it a boost to a different stat depending on which mask is being held. Like, there's just so many things going for Ogre Pawn. Just so many things.
Took me a minute to remember. This looks like better Zarude.
Yes, this is better Zarude. And, like, this is what Zarude should have been.
Well, Zarude's, like, not even bad minus, like, the dark typing, really. It's got, like, a decent stat spread. And it's got the same coverage in, like, grass dark fighting that this thing has.
I'm very happy we've just killed the idea of mythical Pokemon in return for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a much better option than getting something like a Zarude randomly with no background.
Yeah, Zarude felt like Zarude was just a weird thing. Here's this monkey. Like, what does this have to do with anything? Find out.
It's like most mystical Pokemon, like post, even post Manaphy. Where it's just like, this Pokemon exists to make you go to the movie.
Kinda, yeah. It just feels like, here's this tie-in, we need to find a way to, like, make this make sense, and it's like, alright, here you go, here's this.
Like, I think Shaymin, Darkrai, and Arceus, I think you can make an argument for, maybe even Victini, because those at least had, like, in-game events. But post those in-game events, it's just not very exciting at all.
Hmm.
Alright, but yeah, we've got a team today that has this Ogre Pond on it. So we're going to jump into that and have some fun with it because, man, this team looks fun. It's just like a full Sun team with Ogre Pawn on it.
Oh, yeah. No, this thing looks, like, disgusting.
I mean, if you're running a Sun team, you're obviously running a Torkoal. This one is holding the Heatrock because you really just want Sun to be up.
We did get Ninetales this DLC.
We did get Ninetales back, but Torkoal's better, actually, I think.
I would agree, yeah. Spin, high defense. There you go.
You get spin and you get rapid spin as well. So, like, it's good. You're holding the Heatrock. You've got Drought. Terror type Ghost, just so you can't be, like, faked out or something like that if you really need to. Because you really want to probably terrestrialize your Ogre Pawn at some point. That's probably, like, your end game on this team. But, max HP, max defense, a little bit of special attack. You got a bold nature to boost your defenses because you just want to be bulky and get your Sun up as many times as you can throughout that match. Stealth Rock, Lava Plume, Yawn, and Rapid Spin. I don't know what else you would want from a Torkoal, but these are those things. In addition, we're just going to run a couple of other Pokemon that can utilize the Sun as well that aren't Ogre Pond. One of those being Walking Wake, which is just good, and for some reason still an OU.
It was manageable, was what it basically came down to.
Yeah,
manageable, and the move pool wasn't, like, super wide.
Thankfully.
Got something here.
You do have Walking Wake. It's choice specs with Protosynthesis. You can go ahead and give it max special attack, max speed. Naive nature, because you're running a mixed spread here, because you're running Flip Turn. You also have Hydro Steam. So you can burn, and Draco Meteor, because that's just a good attack to have, as well as knockoff, because why not?
The fact that it gets knockoff too, it's just, that's,
You might need it. You might need the knockoff.
Flip Turn's really good. Flip turn is, like, good. The moves we got this, DLC are very helpful for things.
Yeah, does somebody want to take the next couple?
You want them?
You can take them.
Yeah. Okay. We have Ogre Pond with the Hearthflame mask. It's holding its mask, of course. Gets Mold Breaker due to that. Its Terror type is Fire, also due to the Held item. And it's 252 attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed with agility and nature, sword dance, best move in the game, trailblaze, ivy cudgel, play rough. So you just kind of set sword dance, use your ivy cudgel in the sun to get a sun boost on top of the stab and terra and all that. So you just hit hard.
Yeah.
Trailblaze.
Oh my gosh, that's
just grass type flame charge. So you're just getting a speed boost. So you can kind of, in a sense, double dance, but just, you want to just kill like ivy cudgel and hit hard in the sun and then play rough if you need to use it. And then we've got Great Tusk, because if we're a sun team, we can get Protosynthesis off of it. But, we've got Great Tusk with the leftovers, Terra type fire, with 252 HP, 4 special defense, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, Rapid Spin, Bulk Up, Earthquake, Knockoff, which just here to just kind of do, I don't even know, just another spinner plus also hitting hard with Earthquake with Protosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might, I don't know if that's enough to, I don't know its stats exactly, but I assume it's gonna get the attack boost off Protosynthesis, so.
Mm.
So spin, bulk up, just click Earthquake, Knockoff. And then we got two more.
Yep. Take us home.
Yeah. And then we've got, next we have Shiftry. It's a new Pokemon returning. We're not using its new ability because it did get a new one. This just has Chlorophyll with Knockoff, Solar Blade, Low Kick, and Swords Dance. So in the sun, this thing can just set up a Swords Dance and go to town, throwing knockoffs and solar blades, low kick for anything that's particularly resilient to, those kinds of effects.
Oh, it's also got a, it's got a life orb number for HP. It's got 29 IVs in the HP, so you can get the lower end of the life orb chip, looks like. That's the only thing I can
yeah,
that I...
Yeah, and it's, holding a life orb. Lastly, we have Cresselia holding a leftovers, with Levitate as its ability, with a Terra type of poison. With 252 HP, 248 defense, and 8 special defense, a bold nature. Calm Mind, Stored Power, Moonblast, Moonlight. So a very slow, kind of ramping, bulky wall that can go to town with Stored Power once you've knocked out everyone's Dark types.
Yeah,
no one's going Terra Dark, so...
No, yeah, you're actually right. Nobody's going Terra Dark.
No one's going Terra Dark who isn't a Dark type trying to get some power out of it.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. But yeah, that's the team.
Yeah.
It looks fun. Looks like a good time. It is on the Discord, so you can go take it out for a spin, quite literally, mm-hmm. with the Torkoal. And you could just try it out, see if this is something you're interested in. But yeah, go ahead, try it out. Have a good time. Until then, we're going to kick it on over, guys, to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pokelpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about our topic or anything that you want to talk to us about Pokemon-wise. Of course, this segment is always brought to you by the fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And we will give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. So today we got a few emails. We asked you what your initial impressions of Teal Mask were, and you guys gave us some feedback. So let's jump into it. Our first email this week is going to be from Alexander.
All right. Hey, Satch and other co-hosts. I listened to a recent episode and heard you and the co-host that week saying how there might be a second set of DLC. I did some deep digging and found out there were originally around 110 Pokemon supposed to be in Galar, with the 90, or the 89 in the base games, the 5 forms, and the few in PLA, as well as Diplin, Archaladon, and the White Forest Pokemon. That leaves a few that could be in another DLC.
What's the White Forest Pokemon?
I don't know.
Oh, he's probably talking about the Koo Riddles. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Also, the fact that there will be both an Entei and a Terrakion Paradox form means that there will at least be an event. One rumor that was going on before Gen 8 was released, that Duraludon was supposed to be legendary. However, in its release, it was a BST 335 and not legendary. That means Archaladon will likely have 580 plus BST.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but...
I don't know about either. We don't even know if that...
I could see Archaladon just being like a Scyther Scissor type deal, where they have the same base stats and it's just redistributed.
I think it looks stronger, so I don't think that's... the case, but I can understand. But if so, I'm not terribly surprised. You know,
yeah, I could see either or. I'm not like
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm also not too scared of it because it's going to have, its signature move is an electric type move, which isn't even stab.
Yeah, I can see it being a redistribution, making it like, do we know what's typing actually?
Dragon Steel, that was a confirmed, yeah.
Oh, that was, okay. I can't remember if we got to change typing or not. By the way, question for, I guess, the other hosts. Which Pokemon has the highest attack to HP ratio?
It's Shedinja. I can read it, but that's fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Shedinja. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Shedinja with 90-1. That's it from Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. Well, our next email is going to be from Sleeve. You've got this one, Linian.
All righty. Yes. Hey, everybody. I hope you're all doing well and enjoying KitaCon. He said it wrong, and now the actual one has gone from my brain. I'm a couple hours in currently, and I have very mixed feelings about this DLC. I'll start with the negative, then with the highs. One, not many new Pokemon. I know it's only a DLC, but I think I got, like, 8 new Pokemon? 4 of those legendaries are unavailable until a good way through, and 2 are from the same line. It takes a bit of the new toy feel away from the experience. 2, a few characters talk about filling in the 150-page Kitakami Dex, which sounds great. But if you arrive from Paldea with 100 of those pages, you only have to fill a third of the quoted challenge. 3, we're leaving behind a well-developed group of characters and taking 3 empty shell NPCs with us. Feels like Arvin, Penny, and Nimona could have made the trip.
I am disappointed that they didn't win the lottery. I kind of agree.
I'm going to disagree because I think we really don't have the writing space to have 3 established characters.
Yeah, I think we might be able to get a little bit out of it when we go back to Area Zero in the next one. But even then, I think that might be a stretch.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're gone from everything forever, so...
Yeah, it's just also hard when you're, like, you're trying to put focus on just, like, 3 new characters. Like, well, yeah. 2.5, you know, like, with Kira and Carmine and then, like, Briar a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, they barely had enough space to get everyone doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I would have really liked as well, I would like as well for us to get, this is probably not even going to happen in DLC 2, but I would love for us to get some Arvin development and, like, the other professor comes back. And they're just like, son, we have come to like, give you parenting.
They find the actual professor from the thing that went into it and just... No, did they actually...
Oh, that would work, too. I'd be okay with that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I feel like Terrapagos might just be eating them. But it would be cool, because to know, like, let's assume it is, like, imagination that's creating these. Where did the professor go? Like, where did the AI go when it, like, went inside the machine? Because we don't know where that went. We do have confirmation that the professor is dead, though, because it was they were protecting the other Coridon/Maridon. Keep going.
Yeah. The positives, though. The new region is vibrant and interesting. There's an abundance of life everywhere from the town to the routes. It's a similar experience to starting out in SV, where you can spend the first 3 hours of the game just exploring before actually starting.
I agree.
I don't hate the story, which for a Pokemon game is an achievement. New characters are also pretty good. Also, not a positive or a negative, but it feels really weird to have a DLC where you can essentially fly on Coridon's back to reach each checkpoint over any and all challenges hitting only story beats. Like, yeah, it would be a personal choice to do that, but it feels odd to have that freedom. Anyway, that's all for me. Thanks as usual for all the great content, and I cannot give enough compliments for the increase in YouTube content lately. The Nuzlocke and Stain videos have been top drawer. Peace and love, Sleeve.
It is odd. I do sometimes, like, while I'm playing through it, when I was playing through it, I was like, this is definitely, to some extent, meant to be something that you enjoy alongside while you're playing the main story.
It has 2 levels. Like, you can do it at level 60 or, like, level 20 to 30.
It's meant to be something that you... I feel like it's better enjoyed as, like, part of the adventure, if that makes sense.
I did like, though, like, the endgame stuff with, like, variants instead of just, like, flat 60, like, Sword and Shield, where, like, everything is 60. This is, like, here's, like, high 50 to, like...
Yeah, it wasn't flat 60. It varied a lot.
Mid-low 70, which was really nice, actually. Because I'm like, oh, cool, I'm not like... I don't feel like this is just forced to be endgame, in a way. Like, this is just like, here are these high enough levels so you feel like you're getting something. Like, I don't know. It felt more natural when it was, like, varying levels.
I know what you mean.
Because it also gives me hope that Blueberry might be either the same or maybe even a little higher.
I think Blueberry is going to be... you won't be able to do it at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one might be forced to be post-game, kind of like how Crown Tundra was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't forced, but, you know, like, the levels were essentially that of a post-game experience.
I think this one, they might actually, like, not let you go until you're a champion.
They probably should.
No, are we talking about Indigo Disc?
Yeah.
Yeah, Indigo Disc, it's been confirmed, you have to beat the main story to be able to get to it.
Oh, there you go. It makes sense, too, because it is a post of the story.
I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to do the Area Zero stuff, but you do have to do the rest of it.
Well, it might make sense to have to do Area Zero too, because of the fact that this is kind of like more in line with what you find in the post story at this point, like with the whole terrestrialization thing. So that might be part of it. But it's good to know that it'll be essentially an endgame DLC.
Yeah, it
fine for even if you were over level to a degree. Like it was still like challenging. And
I don't think
like,
it was bad at all.
No, having like the sash plus like an Akaberry, at least from what I saw, was like interesting. We're like, oh, okay. You have items. Interesting. Good to know. You know, like, all right. There's something.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. I thought the level scaling was done very well. It was, all right. Well, our last email this week is going to be from Mother Goose. What's new, Puckle Crew? I haven't played a ton of the story yet in the DLC, but I'm enjoying it so far. At first, I was disappointed that Penny, Arvin, and Amona weren't joining us for the school trip, but now I'm actually glad they aren't. I feel like this is our own little adventure. I do feel like I keep finding the same handful of Pokemon over and over again as I'm traveling. The Isle of Armor DLC was my favorite for Swish, and I felt there were a ton of new Pokemon every few steps I took. Maybe I just haven't explored enough of Kitakami yet. Overall, I'm excited to take my time with the Teal Mask. I'm happy to have more outbreaks in Kitakami. So even when I'm finished with the story, I'll have more chances to shiny hunt and more things to do until the next DLC. I always try to add a Pokemon I never used before onto my team, and I can't wait to find another Pokemon to add to my list of favorites. Thank you for listening, Mother Goose. Well, now I need to know what Pokemon they added. I was like, you know what Pokemon? Well, no, I think I have. I think I've used a Poliwrath once before. I was like, Poliwag's back, and that makes me happy. I just like Poliwag.
Poliwag's nice. Fun little guy.
Mm.
I do like it. But yeah, thank you for that email. I honestly think Sleeve was the best one out of that bunch.
I agree. Yeah.
And we should give Sleeve the Green Taurus badge if they don't have it already.
I will look.
If you want to email us next week, let us know what you thought about the Teal Mask so far. We would love to know what you guys are doing, how your playthroughs are going. What's one Pokemon in particular you're excited that either came back or was introduced? I would love to hear what you guys have to say about that. But until then, until next time, you can go ahead and you can follow us over on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. More importantly, if you want to hang out with us, you can come to the Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. I know we got a lot of people getting together for Ogre Austin. Additionally, you can go ahead and check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. You can check us out over at Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. And of course, if you want to help support the show, you can go do so by one, going to trollandtoad.com using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Or you could just go over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Please watch out. Probably in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be announcing some changes to the Patreon. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Hopefully to give you guys a little bit more value. We'll see. And yeah, stay tuned to the end of this episode. You might get a teaser for something new over there. But until then, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
I've been Lydian.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. Welcome to the first ever Puckles interview with a co-host. Yeah, that sounds like a show name. I am
name
Thatch.
Pending.
Name pending. I mean, it might have a different name when it gets posted later this week or something. But I am Thatch, as you should all know, because this is a Patreon only podcast. And thank you to all of you listening to this. This is a show. It's going to be a little bit different. This is a Patreon exclusive show where we're going to take each of your co-hosts and we're going to just chit and chat with them and ask them about themselves. You hear me every week, but you don't get to hear these guys every week. And we just want to know more about you because they want to intrude onto your life, as do
oh,
I.
Oh, well, shucks.
To be fair, the list of questions I have prepared, I feel like I know most of the answers for most of you. So maybe. We're going to find out. Maybe you can make it a really cool story and I can listen. So we're going to kick things off really nice and simple, very generic for a Pokemon podcast, Seth.
Heck yeah.
We have Seth Violet this week, by the way.
Hello. But, I was wondering if I you forgot, would get to that part.
We have Seth Violet. Who's, I don't know, when did you become a co-host? Like, what year was it? Because I don't remember. It's all blurred together at this point. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I started listening to the show in 2017, because that was back when I was Boy Scouts.
That sounds very reasonable.
I needed something in the car, and I think my first episode listening was the Sun and TCG, TCG cast set review.
That's fun.
And then I just kind of stuck around, and then I think it happened at some point, not too long after we ended up doing the Game Corner episode together, I think.
Yeah, well, that's how we used to test people, by the, like, in all honesty, is that's how we used to, like, pull people from Patreon or from the community and have them on one of those sideshows. And that was a very good way to test people for on-air personality, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was me and you versus Bosifus and Linian.
Yeah, that sounds very reasonable. I think you guys also, like, you and Linian both got picked out specifically as well for that, probably, when we did it. Because you two were very active in the community at the time. And I mean, it's just easier to see people when they're doing that. And if they're very positive while they're doing it, it's just like, yeah, these guys could be good. And then on top of that, like, I don't want to sound like egotistical or anything, but we use it as just like, if you're active in the community and you're talking to me, it's much easier for me to know that we might mesh well on the show, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It gives you multiple interactions to kind of figure out who this person is and stuff. So, yeah,
exactly.
Not egotistical or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're running a program. You're running a business.
Yeah. To some extent. Like, if I'm running a business, I'm not a very good businessman, right? There are multiple decisions I think about every day where I'm like, I'm not doing this optimally. Very, very much so. Like, and I'm aware of it. But yes, this is supposed to be about you, not about the podcast or me. But I do want to ask you questions because, I mean, that is part of a question, but we'll talk to you about it a little bit later.
Heck yeah.
But this is going to be very generic, very easy. So you're roughly my age, I think. I think we're almost the same age. We talk about this every time we meet in person, and then I always forget.
Yeah, I think we're like a couple months off each other.
Yeah, I think that's about it, yeah. And so I want to know, what was your entry point into Pokemon? Why did you get there? What hooked you back then too? Because, like, I assume we're all nerds, and especially about Pokemon, since that's why we're here.
What?
Right. And I was just wondering, what hooked you back then? Like, back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's not that elaborate of a story, honestly. One holiday, I suppose it was either Christmas or my birthday. My mom had gotten a bundle pack from Costco of the Game Boy Color plus accessory packs plus a Pokemon game. Pokemon was at the time. And that was Blue that I started with. And I remember a couple things specifically. Like, I thought that, oh, okay, that's Blastoise on the front, so I guess I have to pick the Squirtle. Like, that's most appropriate.
That's true.
I
wonder how many people, if you like this and would like to hear the full hour-long conversation between myself and Seth, you can go check it out over at Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast, where we have this show, Game Corner, and some other new stuff over there as well. At the $5 tier, you get access to this show. So if you're interested, please check it out and help support the show while getting some cool content at the same time. Thanks. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.